Our study tonight is out of Isaiah chapter 14, verses 28 to 32, trusting in God versus yielding to the temptation to politic for our welfare. Every generation of believers has its own battles of faith to fight, battles where God calls them simply to trust and obey him versus trying to manipulate circumstances or relationships in their own efforts for their benefit. Politicking versus trusting in the Lord is always a sin. A lesson we see in Isaiah 14, 28 to 32. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. In the year that King Ahaz died was this burden. This is a burden or message from the Lord. Rejoice not, thou whole Palestinia, because of the rod of him that smote thee is broken, for out of the serpent's root shall come forth a cockatrice, and his fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. And the firstborn of the poor shall feed, and the needy shall lie down in safety, and I will kill thy root with famine, and he shall slay thy remnant. Howl, O gate, cry, O city, thou whole Palestina, art dissolved. For there shall come from the north a smoke, and none shall be alone in his appointed times. What shall one then answer the messengers of the nation, that the Lord hath founded Zion, and the poor of his people shall trust in it? Okay, Isaiah's prophecy at Isaiah 14, 28 to 32, the verses we just read, presents a new set of circumstances that has an old temptation of unbelief. Judas, King Ahaz, had refused to trust the Lord concerning the threat of the Syria-Israel alliance, but he instead had called on Assyria to defeat that alliance. You'll remember that back in Isaiah 7, 1 to 2, and 2 Kings 16, 5 to 7 tells us that he called on Assyria to help him when the Israel-Syria alliance was threatening him. Well, circumstances had since then changed for Judah, but there still existed the temptation for unbelief in God. Judah's King Ahaz had just died, according to Isaiah 14, 28. In fact, this prophecy occurs in the year that King Ahaz died. But there still existed, and Assyria was facing hardship, beginning to wane in might. So the Philistines had sent messengers to Judah proposing that King Hezekiah, Ahaz's son, join them to revolt against Assyrian dominance. That's in verse 32 is all about. What shall one then answer the messengers of the nation? So these messengers are coming from Philistia, and they're trying to get Hezekiah to side with them in order to violate their Assyrian dominance. So there existed a lure to adjust to the new order by way of politicking instead of trusting the Lord. However, the law forbade God's people from making national treaties with pagan nations in Deuteronomy chapter 7, 1 and 2. Let me just briefly read that passage. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Verses 1 and 2, Moses is speaking here, and he says, when the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. So they were not supposed to make these treaties. So this lure for Judah to enter into political union with Philistia to enhance her national security was a new temptation to an old sin of relying on human manipulation in violation of the law and in unbelief in God. Well, accordingly, the Lord directed Isaiah to prophesy against Philistia for Judah's benefit, that Judah not fall for this lure from Philistia, but instead choose to trust the Lord for her national security. That's what verses 29 to 32 are all about. God called the Philistines not to rejoice because the rod of him that had struck her was broken, a reference to the difficulties Assyria was facing after it had leveled some affliction upon Philistia. See, Assyria still is viewed as the rod that was in the hand of God that had struck her, and apparently the Philistines had attacked the Assyria had attacked rather the Philistines sometime in the past. But he told them, don't rejoice just because the Assyrians are having a bit of a setback. From the figurative root of the serpent of Assyria would still come an adder, and its offspring would be a worse threat, namely a flying, fiery serpent. This is all figurative language to point out that Assyria's setback was just temporary. So for Judah to rebel against Assyria in an alliance with Philistia was sure to be severely countered by Assyria. See, if you rebelled against Assyria, when Assyria gets strong again, she's going to come down with much greater wrath. So it's not wise to go ahead and try to make trouble with Assyria. Nevertheless, the people of Philistia had felt secure, likened to the firstborn of the poor that grazed peacefully and the needy lying down in safety. But God would still use the Assyrians to invade the land and destroy, leading to Philistia's suffering famine and the destruction of even their remnant. For this reason, God called all of Philistia to wail, to cry out, to melt with fear. For Assyria was coming like a cloud of smoke, and there was no straggler in his ranks, meaning the Assyrian army would inflict significant harm, destroying many Philistines. Verse 31, Hollow gate, cry, O city, thou whole Palestina, for thou art dissolved, for there shall come forth from the north a smoke, and none shall be alone in his appointed times. Well, God thus had an answer for King Hezekiah to give to the Philistine messengers who were calling on him to join them in rebelling against Assyria. And that's recorded in verse 32. He was to say, the Lord has founded Zion, and in her the afflicted of his people find refuge, as they trusted in the Lord, not in alliances with foreign nations. That's what God originally wanted Hezekiah to do. Too bad he didn't do that. And as a real lesson here, if God gives us the lesson of faith, he wants us to apply it immediately. Because if we don't trust him. The next time around, the level of faith, the trial is much, much more enhanced, more difficult. And then we're forced to kind of trust him. If we don't do it then the third trial is even worse. So the point is, the first time the trial comes around, we need to trust the Lord. Well, what's interesting is, for the record, this prophecy proved to be very timely, as it was fulfilled within 4 years after it was delivered. King Ahaz of Judah died in 715 B.C., but in 711 B.C., only 4 years after this oracle, Assyria defeated Ashdod and made Philistia an Assyrian province. Conversely, Zion, a reference to Jerusalem, did not fall until 586 B.C. to Babylon, which was, quite a bit later. However, King Hezekiah did not heed this prophecy, and he joined the city of Ashdod in Philistia to rebel against submission to Assyria. So the Assyrians invaded the land to defeat Philistia and threatened Judah before God supernaturally delivered Judah and Jerusalem. See, the Assyrians never would have come after Hezekiah, and he wouldn't have been forced to break out into a cold sweat and get on his knees and pray to the Lord to help him if he had first trusted the Lord. He didn't first trust the Lord. He made the agreement with Philistia, so finally he got to the point where he was crying out to the Lord. He finally did trust the Lord. So it's interesting. God really is strong on demanding faith. He really wants us to trust him. If we fail to trust him, he gets upset. If we look at the life of Christ, the only time he ever scolded his disciples was when they didn't trust him. He upbraided them, which is scolded them. He wouldn't scold them because they didn't pray properly. He didn't scold them for their weakness in other areas. He scolded them because they didn't trust him. So that's something God's, he doesn't have much room, wiggle room for us, so we really need to trust him. So the Lord did rescue Hezekiah, but he would have enjoyed far more peace and security had he initially trusted in the Lord versus going into union with Ashdod. Too bad he didn't obey verses 29 to 32. Saved him a lot of headaches later. So though a new era arose under Judah's king Hezekiah, with the temporarily waning threat of Assyria and the lure of the Philistines to join in rebelling against Assyria, God still called Judah to trust him and not to join the Philistines in politicking, as had Ahaz. for the Philistines were going to be overcome by the Assyrians anyway. Sadly, King Hezekiah failed to trust the Lord the first time around, so he had to learn the hard way to do so. May we immediately trust God versus politicking for our welfare, for trusting him is always the basis for spiritual victory, and self-help manipulation always a recipe for disaster and discipline. May we trust the Lord in the first round of a trial versus turning to manipulation, lest we have to learn to do so the hard way. Very interesting.